time and be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Today, my new series is called Joey B on the Road. My guests have always come into the studio to record, but today we take ourselves on the road. I will meet Steve and Chris Barkley on the Barkley Christmas Tree Farm. Chris and I spoke prior to my journey, and he gave me a super tip for anyone purchasing a fresh-cut farm tree. He said for the first watering, use tap water because the tree will try to callus over that cut. And my Joey B tip of the day is water your tree 3 times a day for a longer, healthier indoor life. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. So now let's go on the road with Chris and Steve. So it's Joey B on the road. I am at the Barkley Christmas Tree Farm with Steve and Chris Barkley. Hey guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
You know what? For me, it's great. You know, one of my degrees is in botany. One is as an environmental scientist. And Christmas tree farms are a renewable resource. So to me, just to be here is a great thing as the scientist. But we're going to talk all about farming. So as a farmer, is this a year-round business for you guys?
Well, we're only open 8 to 10 days a year, depending on the season. But the upkeep is a year-round thing.
So tell me a little bit about... You said upkeep, and we were talking before we went on air about mowing grass and all that. So tell me all about it.
So we plant in the springtime. Then there's a lot of mowing that happens between spring and when we open in December. We prune the trees once a year and take care of any new seedlings we put in with water, keep them from getting thirsty, and that's about it.
Yeah, mowing is to keep the weeds down. To protect the seedlings we plant, and we typically, like Steve said, plant in the springtime. We try to get them in March before the April rains hit, but it depends on if the ground is soft enough that we can plant, as well as the farms that we source from typically are in western Pennsylvania, and we need them to thaw out before we can actually get the seedlings ourselves. So planting is really fluid, and it depends on the weather, not only here, but also the conditions out in typically Pennsylvania.
So the question I would then have is, when you're getting the seedlings, what size are you looking to get? Like, is there an optimal size? Is it optimal size per species?
So we typically get what is called a transplant, which is a 2-2 or a 3-2 or a 3-3 transplant. And that's, so we're not getting the actual seeds. We're getting a seedling that can be either between 4 to 6 years old. The 2-2, the transplant is, first the seedling is germinated in a greenhouse and then transplanted to the field. So that typically we found gives us the best rate of survival, the healthiest root systems on the trees.
Yeah, yep. They're between 4 and 5, sometimes 6 years old. Really, the bigger the better. But a lot of this depends on the availability of the guys that are growing them for us, that are starting them out. So it's really depends on what they're growing that year and how their crop looks,
as well as what tree is popular at that time.
Well, that's one of the questions I was going to ask you is, and we may as well talk about it now. I know that you have a number of species of trees on here, so why don't you talk about what you sell on the farm, what tends to grow better. Just tell me all about the different species you have.
Yeah, sure. We can definitely do that, and we'll go into an issue that we're having with our most popular species of tree, too. But go ahead.
Yeah, we grow Douglas fir, Fraser fir, Norway spruce, and blue spruce. And we started with some
white fir.
Some white fir.
Which is a new variety of tree that that we started growing about 10 years ago as a test to see if the white fir, also known as the concolor fir, would take here in this in our form here, in this kind of environment that we have out here. And they've taken very well, and they've become extremely popular. So the past few years, we've planted quite a few of them, but it'll take a few years to get to a selling size. So we have five variety of trees right now.
Yeah, Douglas fir is a tree that grows great around here, and that's a traditional tree in the Northeast. However,
our most popular tree.
Yeah, yeah, or was until a couple of years ago. And about 10 years ago, they became susceptible to a disease. It's called rab decline. It's a needle cast. And it's really affecting all of the trees in the area. And the only way to stop it is to, you've got to spray them a whole bunch of times at certain intervals in the springtime.
It's very, very time dependent on something called bud break. And bud break is, in the springtime, after planting season, trees go into bud break where their new shoots are coming out of the trees. And if you ever drive by a Christmas tree farm in May, typically May, you'll see very they're evergreens, but a very green shoot. And that's the shoot that the shoots are coming out of the bud. So rab decline, you have to spray three times within a very short window of time, and it has to be at bud break. And if it's not, it's completely ineffective. And rab decline, the problem that we have with rab decline is that it spreads like wildfire. So it is an issue that all farmers in the area are having. We have annual meetings with Christmas tree growers in New Jersey, and one of the topics that's always brought up is rab decline and how to combat it if possible. A lot of farms are doing away with Douglas firs because it's almost, it's getting to the point where it's not worth the time and cost.
The amount that you have to spray.
Yeah. To treat rab decline as opposed to getting rid of Douglas firs, having customer frustration, but at least you don't have a diseased.
But you know what, it's great that you're getting, you know, so to speak, a co-op of farmers together to say, okay, so how do we, whatever the problem is, how do we combat it too?
Yeah.
And that's a great thing, which, you know, many businesses, it's like the cutthroat businesses, well, guess what? This isn't it. It's like, how can we both succeed, you know, and do well?
One thing I will say as a kind of a sidebar to that is that the Christmas tree farmer kind of community is very close-knit, and there's really not a lot of really cutthroat competition that we find.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a farm next door to us that taught our father how to grow Christmas trees, you know, 45, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's and when people don't find a tree here, we're more than happy to point them into a direction of another farm, and other farms do the same. So it's a close-knit community that we have, and we all try to support each other.
Yeah,
that is great.
Farming is hard enough work, so we all try to help each other out a little bit. You know, whether it's Christmas trees or any other type of farming in the area. These guys are good neighbors to each other. So,
now, you were talking about when you're getting the seedlings coming in. Now, are you dependent on if they have dug firs and they happen to be the best seedlings coming? So are you dependent on the initial grower at that point?
Yeah, these growers have a large, large selection of trees. It's just a matter of when we place the order, what they have available, what they have left. But there could be 10 or 15 different types of evergreen or conifer trees available to plant. We have in the last few years started a couple of these, a couple of those, different varieties we haven't tried before. Some might be slower growing, some may not turn out to be great Christmas trees, but you know, we put 10, 20, 30 of them in the ground and see how they do. If they take well, seem to grow well, then we start to plant more.
And that makes sense. So another question I have for you is problems with deer or other critters. You already alluded to some of the insects, and if you want to go into, I'll say any problems that you have with live things, animals. Go.
Sure. Mice can be an issue with trees in the first year or two that we put them in the ground. They like to chew on the roots of trees.
Another reason why mowing is necessary.
Yeah, it keeps the grasses down and stuff, or, they love to make a home. Deer can be a problem. Male deer, once they have antlers, they'll rub the tree.
Going through the rut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And you'll go out there and, say trees up to about 5-6 feet tall, bigger than that, they don't really, usually don't get at them, but they'll, you'll notice that there's a foot of branches on the bottom and a foot of branches on the top, and then the whole middle is just bare trunk.
And I don't know, as you're describing that, my brother-in-law, his sister works for Gallo Wine, and what they do in the winery is they actually take Irish Spring soap in a woman's nylon stocking and hang it through the vineyards, and it keeps the deer out. Just
So maybe
there's something for you to try.
Yeah, I might have to give that a try this year.
Our grandfather had a huge apple orchard in the area, and he used to wrap. He used to go to local barbershops, get hair, and wrap the trunks in human hair. So there's a lot of, eco-friendly ways to keep the deer away.
Yeah,
and that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. That is a neat thing. Please.
I would also say that. The deer are an issue, and then there are insects that we spray for as well, but it's not that big of an issue. I think what happens is it's a live tree, and we have had a call here or there over the years where, they'll get home and, spiders will come out. So we spray for spiders, mm-hmm. even though they're harmless, they don't do anything. But it's a live tree you're getting out in the field, so there's always a chance that something has made a home there. They go dormant in the winter, you bring them to your warm home. That's always an issue. We do our best to, especially in the past few years, to spray for spiders and insects like that. We find praying mantis nests a lot that we actually cut off and give to local schools and teachers that come out for them, so they can put them in
terrariums
and have the kids watch it hatch. But typically that's not an issue that we deal with, especially over the past 5 years or so, since we have really started kind of spraying not just for the insects that can affect the Christmas tree, but for the insects that you don't want to really have when customers home.
I'm probably the only person in the world who wants a spider in his house.
I'll help you out with that.
Yeah, we'll be looking for one of those later on. Now, talking about the competition between the fake tree market, which, by the way, I can't stand because I love the natural,
great.
And the pre-cut lot. So what's your competition with?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the fake trees have always been there. And unfortunately, they're getting better and better. Just saw one on TV the other day with, real needles, and it's got a remote control. You can turn the lights on and off from the comfort of your couch and change the color of the lights and everything. But there's a lot of tradition that goes into a real tree. People have been doing it for a very long time. And most of our customers, I'd say they're doing it because that's what they want. It's a tradition they've had with their parents or grandparents, and been passed down, and they want to do the same for their kids. We're also lucky, and we live close to a couple big metropolitan areas, New York, Philadelphia, and a lot of these guys don't have the experience of getting out onto a farm every day. So they enjoy being able to come out here, not just for a real tree, but to be able to walk around with their dog and spend the day outside with their kids and stuff. I mean,
I would think correct that you have had families just keep repeating year after year, so to speak, and passed down, like you're saying.
Joe, I was going to say that. I was going to mention that. So we certainly get a lot of first-time customers, and we're excited about that. I think more and more people, especially in New York City, especially in more the suburbs of New York, are drawn to actually going out into a field and picking out their Christmas tree, as opposed to going down to the corner lot and paying, twice as much, three times as much as we're going to charge. But we have families, on the other hand, we have families that have been coming out literally for generations now. So, you know, there's, I know Steve has families that he works with every year. I have families that come out every single year and ask for me. And there's this one family, it's a great family, and they come out the first Sunday we're open every year, and they've been coming out for almost 20 years now. And I remember the first year they came out, they had a newborn daughter, and like this year she's going off to college. So,
that's so cool.
It's, you definitely see families, and you definitely see people year after year after year. And those, I mean, that's really what we value. As much as we love having the new customers come out, especially if they start their tradition and they start coming out year after year, but it's really seeing those people that we're not necessarily friends with, but you see them every year, you know who they are, they know who you are, and that's really what it's about. I would say, going back to the competition, Steve said the fake trees have always been there, they're getting better. Really, I feel that our competition is more with the pre-cut lots, because we are, like Steve said at the beginning of the interview, we're open 8 to 10 days a year, depending on where Thanksgiving falls. And we're weather dependent. You know, we are, the trees are in the field. People love that experience of getting a saw, going out, cutting down their own tree, or having us cut it down for them. But they love being able to go out into a field and say, that's the tree I want right there. They don't love it if it's raining.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
So if it's raining, snow is okay. You know, snow is, oh, it adds
the ambiance.
Yeah. They don't realize it adds about 40 pounds to a tree for us, but it's okay. It's the ambiance. But I think the weather is what will drive people to a pre-cut lot. If it's raining, forget it. It's gone on for 40 plus years. Where if it's raining, boom, we see our sales dramatically decrease. I will say that if people are going to go to a pre-cut lot, try to find a farmer that along with their farm has a pre-cut lot, or try to find a pre-cut lot that says locally sourced, because a lot of the pre-cut lots, especially, you know, you go to your Lowe's, your Home Depot, these trees can be cut down in September or even August. They're cut down, they're kept in cold storage units, and then they're brought out. And then the guy gives you a fresh cut, says you're all good, and then you find out that these trees aren't taken in water like they should.
If I can interject on that one, when I was graduating Rutgers, one of my first job offers was a Christmas tree farm up in Canada. And as I'm going through the interview, the guy says, yeah, we cut all of our trees at the end of August. I'm going, what? It's Christmas. Like, I'm not thinking right. Yeah, he says, it's too cold and snowy up there. He says, we have to cut them all. So like you're saying, it's like somebody can come to your farm right now, and obviously it's fresh because I just cut it right now.
Yeah.
And somebody else is buying, and I'm not going to say, because it could be a Home Depot, Lowe's, or a local lot. And guess what? Because the nursery that I was working for as an undergrad, that's how I got the interview, because I'm working there selling their trees, not knowing they're coming from Canada. So I know exactly what you're saying on that one.
Now, and not to, maybe we can edit out that mentioning of the corporations.
No. Hey, you know what? Hey, I have no problem with, you know, it's like, hey, if we're speaking in truths, it doesn't matter where we go.
Right.
So I want to change gears a little bit.
Yep.
You're pruning. Is there a time of the year that you do prune?
Well, for certain trees, there is a certain window of time to prune, and we no longer grow those trees. We try to make this business as flexible as possible, because we do this part-time. It's really a full-time gig, but since we're only open 8 or 10 days a year, you've got to support yourself with a regular job as well. So we don't have those types of trees that have a specific window. With that being said, they can be done at any time. After bud break, when, as my brother was saying, in April, May, once those harden off, which takes about about a month after the bud break happens, you can prune anytime up until right before Christmas. We prefer to do it late summer, early fall, when it's a little cooler out, rather than the dead heat of summer. But other than that, just needs to get done once a year after the tree's about 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah, no, and at that time, it'll keep its shape as well. So if we prune them, then we can be confident that come selling season that the trees aren't going to be wild, that they're going to hold their shape nice.
Yeah, it seems that it's almost that seems to be a perfect time, because now when you come, there's a little bit more growth that's, you know, reoccurred from that point on. And like you said, it's not a wild growth. It's got, because somehow a lot of people have this picture in their mind of what a Christmas tree is supposed to look like.
Right.
Sometimes when they come here for the first time, that they've been buying like artificial, they come here and they go, wow, the tree looks different. Well, it does, because it's naturally grown.
Right. It's an all natural product.
So here's my next question. From the time you purchase a seedling, and we're just going to say to a 7-foot tree, I'll give it the average, how long does it take for you guys to grow a tree from, we'll call it seedling, and I know it's not coming because you have varied sizes, I understand that, to a 7-foot. So what's your time window on that?
I would say that, just to start off, that it depends on the variety of tree, and it depends on the weather conditions, especially within the first 1 or 2 years. Typically, a tree on average will grow 1 foot a year.
Yep, it's about 1 foot a year. It depends on how much rain we get throughout the season, in the summer and the spring. And obviously, depending on the variety, some grow faster than others, but it's about 1 foot a year. So if you figure we're putting in a tree that's 1 foot tall, to get to 7 feet, you're probably looking at 6 to 7 years.
And it's funny that the person who's purchasing that tree doesn't realize that it's taking that long for, you know, that tree has been in the ground for that long for that purchase, because they're just, you know, again, coming down, and it's a great, you know, it's a great atmosphere. And
we have to plan, you know, at least 7 if not 10 years out for what fields we're planting. One thing that we do every spring is we go through the fields, and a lot of times, this is kind of going off subject a little bit, but I'll tie it back. But a lot of times people are upset about cutting down a live tree. And they're saying, here's this tree, that's alive, it's in the ground, and I'm going to cut it down and kill it.
I feel bad.
I feel bad. Yep. Yeah. And understandable, but almost every tree, we replant a seedling next to that stump. So we have a continuous growth and turnover in the field. So if somebody's upset that they're cutting down a tree, they should know that a tree is being planted where that one was within 1 to 2 years.
Well, and that's why when I started the show, I said it is a renewable resource. Exactly. And that's what makes, because obviously if people just kept cutting trees and you didn't replant them, you wouldn't be in business.
Right. Yeah.
So you are replanting, but it's renewable.
Yep.
And that should be a joy in someone who's cutting that tree down, knowing that there's another one put in its place. Right.
Exactly.
There.
Absolutely. Yep. Actually, it's generally two put in its place.
Right.
Because some grow up to be too ugly to cut down, and, you know, and whatnot. Yeah. So we've got a lot out there that don't make the cut, but they're going to turn into big.
So it's like Santa's reindeer. They have to try out to see if they can make onto the Christmas tree stand.
Yep.
Now, question. So how do you guys prepare for the Christmas season? You know, your staff, your gear, what's going on?
Well, we've got some friends that have been helping us out for a long time and continue to do so. We bribe them with a Christmas tree or two for their family.
Maybe a wreath.
Yeah, maybe a wreath, but they're more than happy to help out. And other than that, we make sure our saws that we provide for the customers are in good shape, clean them if we need to. We do that at the end of the season. And we make sure we have enough of the supplies that we need. Netting when we pull the trees through to condense them. That way they can go into people's house nice and easily. We make sure we have enough of that, enough twine to tie the trees to the car.
We use heavy duty 2-ply sisal twine. So it's one concern that we're always dealing with is, do we have enough twine? Do we have enough rope?
Yeah, and then make sure we have enough stands and some of the other things that we sell, removal bags. Just make sure we have enough of the supplies, and then we're good to go. I mean, the beauty of this, the good and bad, the bad that we're only open 10 days a year, 8 days a year, there's not a huge window to make money, but at the same time, it's very easy to manage.
So here's my next question, and I'm just saying this as the outsider, what's the atmosphere like? You know, here you are selling Christmas trees, and I would assume that everyone is leaving with a smile on their face and so on. So what's it like for you guys personally?
Well, first of all, you would assume that. I would say 90 95% of the people are leaving with a smile on their face. There are some people out there that there's obviously a disagreement on which tree to get or what size would actually fit in the house. But yeah, it's most people are coming out for the experience. What one thing that Barclays Tree Farm prides itself on is our customer service. We greet every customer that comes in. We offer help from cutting down a tree to carrying a tree up. We bale every tree, and we're more than happy to put any tree on any car and tie it down. So and that's all free of charge. All those services, we don't charge anything for them. So customer service is something that we pride ourselves on, and that we offer as much as we possibly can to the customers. So I think that lends itself to a lot of those repeat customers that we talked about before. But it's something we pride ourselves on. But customers are you know, it's Christmas time. They're coming out. They're getting a tree. Generally, people are really happy. We get caught up in it. You know, we're happy. It's very rare that you find yourself in a bad mood on a Saturday or Sunday during the Christmas tree season, as long as it's not raining.
that does make sense. So here's my question then. How can people contact you or the farm? Like, where should they be going?
Sure. Well, our website would be the best source of information, www.barclaystreefarm.com, BARCLAY. All the information's on there that you would need, as well as our email address and phone number. So if you want to, you know, ask any more specific questions, we're here. We've got a Facebook page as well. You can find us on there.
And Instagram.
Instagram.
And our phone number.
Our phone number is 609-799-1855.
All right. Well, hey, you know what? Steve, I want to thank you. Chris, I want to thank you. There's only one thing left for me, because this is an awesome day, because I get to go Christmas tree shopping right now.
All right.
So until next time, enjoy life's adventures.
You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.
Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure.
That was awesome.